Good morning. Hey, Butch. I'm not going to say it to everybody. I just happened to see Butch. I have been auditioning for the new Arby's commercials, We've Got the Meats. And this is, so I want to stay in character until I finally get the call back. We're doing a series, and we tied it in with what our camp's doing and what our elementary kids are doing. And it's dealing with emotions and kind of feelings, the responses that you and I have to life, that if we're not careful, we can kind of follow those responses rather than being more in charge of them or controlling them. So we're doing this in conjunction with both of them. So hopefully if you've got kids in either camp or preschool, y'all can talk about some of this. This is the one we're doing this weekend is laughter. I've never done a message on laughter before. So to kind of prime the pump, we'll watch this video that most of you've probably seen before. It's I think number one on YouTube. Let's see if it can get us laughing at all.
Charlie bit me. Charlie bit me. And that really hurt, Charlie, and it's still hurting.
They actually have an interview of these kids. They're now like adults, well, teenagers. And they still sit together like that wherever they go. It's really odd. But I wanted to, so here's the definition I'm going to use of laughter. And I'm talking about, for the most part, I'm talking about healthy or kind laughter. It's just a response to something you perceive as humorous. You don't have to write it down. I mean, it's just kind of a normal thing. Some of you are laughing when you watch that. I want to tell you what Ecclesiastes says about this, because there's this thing about laughter. God created us with this capacity. It's a unique capacity we have. Listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes. It says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh. What's interesting is in that video, both were happening at the same time. The older brother was, you know, he was all happy until Charlie bit him. And then he starts whining and crying. But then when Charlie starts laughing, the older brother's stuck. What do I do now? I think it's kind of funny. And he was kind of in this odd world. If his little brother hadn't been laughing, I wonder what the video would have been like. They would have probably cut it and they'd had to go separate them. So there's something about this that's unique. It's got a lot of power to it. I want to mention this too in this Ecclesiastes verse. This is a separate message coming up sometime else. But it never includes in here, there's a time to whine and complain. If you ever find in the Bible where it gives us permission to whine and complain, go for it. But until then, and now we'll do another message on that down the road. I'm going to show you another video. This is particularly funny to me. You may not like it, but it's a video of a fireman. It's a fireman's rodeo. They don't have horses. Well, you'll see what they've got. Let's watch this. Apparently that guy won, This is why that's funny to me. So a few years before Becky and I got married, I was going to school in Western North Carolina, and she was in Eastern Tennessee. And so every once in a while, we'd meet on a weekend. She came to see me. That particular weekend, on Friday, I had gone to the doctor. I'd had a problem. I did something in my gymnastics, and I had messed up my shoulder. So the doctor gave me a shot, and apparently, I'm not making it up. His name was Dr. Duck. And he really was a quack. I mean, he did. I'm not making any of this up. He gave me the shot and said, "Here's some Tylenol in case it hurts." Later that afternoon, it looked like someone had put an egg underneath my skin. I mean, it was a mess. I had a fever. I had all this kind of stuff going. Dr. Duck obviously is gone for the weekend. Becky came, and during the weekend, I'm trying to figure out how to not feel miserable. And the problem with pain is it brings out what's already in you. I couldn't blame Dr. Duck for what happened. While Becky and I were out, I decided I'm going to go wash my car. So I'll go to one of those car washes that has the magic wand thing, you know, and all that. Well, I couldn't hold it with my right arm because of the pain, and I let go. And that thing starts whipping around like an octopus on steroids. It was just banging the car, spraying me. It was in the wintertime, and it was going all over the place. And I look over there, and this woman that I eventually married, which says something about my judgment, is laughing her head off at me. The car's being beat up. I'm sprayed. I'm miserable. And you know, I'm not getting my 75 cents worth of wash, too. I mean, everything was working against me. And this thing, blah, 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 blah. And she's just laughing as if she has no compassion. I, on the other hand, had a lot of compassion for myself, along with anger and fury. I hated the world. I hated Dr. Duck. I hated my shoulder. I hated the car wash people. I was miserable. What's interesting about it is we were in the same exact circumstance, except she wasn't as wet as I was, but our response was very different. What fueled my response, my anger and all that, and the reason I couldn't see it as funny, is pride and insecurity. I didn't want to look like an idiot, and I did. I felt like, you know, I look incompetent. I mean, most guys, a lot of guys I run with, this is what, if you get down, if you boil underneath, that's what drives us. We don't want to look like fools or idiots. We want to look, we're in charge. We've got it together. And when you're in a car wash with a bum arm and this thing swinging around like this, and you don't look very together. Apparently, Becky saw it differently than I did. We married anyway, and she's gotten a lot better over the years. But the point is, she's not in the service that I can say that. She was here last night and I didn't. So anyway, what I want to do is I want to talk some about this capacity you and I have for having a sense of humor or laughter and why God gave it to us and what we can do with it. I think it's something that I'm really glad. I've studied a lot this week. I've done a ton of research on something I'd never really thought about that much before. So I want to just give you some highlights of it, and then I want to go back to some of the very specific ways I think God designed us and why having a sense of humor and why laughter is really, really important to us and not to be taken for granted. Laughter, the healthy kind. I'm not talking about the kind where we're making fun of others and or all the kind of weird stuff. I'm talking about just the clean, healthy, humorous laughter has a ton of benefits. I'm going to give you a few of these, and I'm going to quote some of these people because they're a lot smarter than I am. They have all kind of initials after their name. This first one is from a publication from the Harvard Institute, On the Brain. These are really smart people. They're Neuroscience Institute. They published some things. They've studied our brains for 40 years. And they were talking in this about, they've confirmed through research how laughter, the healthy kind of laughter, can reduce stress and tension in our lives. I mean, some of you kind of know that, but they've done research to confirm it. It boosts our immune system and increases positive activity of immune cells and antibodies. Researchers at Loma Linda University, they have this school of applied health and medicine, found that laughter aids the brain in regulating stress hormones, like cortisol and epinephrine. I mean, there's something going on internally with us that changes when our sense of humor kicks in and we're able to laugh. There's a link to producing endorphins. They're the pleasure hormones. It's like a natural opioid that our body... And here's the problem is, when we don't tap into the way God created us, this is another message another time too, we find substitutes. And he created us to have some ways to be able to cope in a world that is full of all kinds of things. But when we're not willing to do that, then we find alternative methods to do it. Drugs and alcohol fit the bill many times this way. They did a study just on the physiological part of how physically laughter helps us. They did a study of people that had gone to comedy clubs, the ones where the comedians were actually funny. And what they discovered is people that were there and had enjoyed laughing together and all that kind of stuff had a higher pain tolerance than people that didn't. There's something about being able to laugh and have fun together that created something that the body kicks in, and physiologically there are some changes, there's some help there. They've also researched about the emotional impact that laughter has on us. Again, the Harvard report found that laughter triggered the brain's reward in response areas of the brain. It releases dopamine, serotonin, and endorphins. It's capable of changing a person's mood. Some of you know this intrinsically. I'm just trying to reinforce this, that you can be in a bad mood or a down mood. You find something humorous, you begin laughing, and all of a sudden your mood has elevated because some of these hormones God's created our body to produce, they're happy hormones is what they call them. They've done functional MRI studies and have seen this actually take place. So God created us physically to be impacted by laughter. He's created us to have an emotional response to it. And I'm going to mention this too. There is a pathological kind of inappropriate laughter. It's where someone, it's a nervous laugh, where someone's laughing because they're trying to fit in or they're trying to deflect something, or when they don't even know why it's doing it. Just laughing doesn't have the benefits. It goes back to this sense of really having a sense of humor. It's a mindset that leads to it, that does. So want to keep that in mind, because some of you are going to go home and say, well, I just need to start laughing more. You know, that's not going to help, and it's going to weird everybody all around you. There's a relational component to it that's really important, too. It strengthens our connection to others. Other primates have these laughing things, but let me just tell you, too, some of the stuff on the internet, cats and dogs laughing, come on. I mean, their faces are just, that's just what happens to it. I mean, some of you are that way. Some of you look like you're happy because your face was created with a little smile on it, but you're not that happy. Primates they can laugh, but they don't have, no one's been able to show anything about them having a sense of humor, which again, it goes back to the mindset behind it, not just the actual mechanism. Public speakers have known what laughter does too. A public speaker can go into a crowd that's antagonistic to them or maybe apathetic, or there's all kind of tension going on, and in a few moments of getting people to laugh has the crowd together. You watch TED Talks. Regularly you'll see this, trying to get a crowd wrapped around, leaving everything else behind. They now have this one thing in common. The Journal of Nervous and Mental Disease did research on psychotherapy, and one of the things they discovered is when a patient would laugh with their psychotherapist, when there was something that happened and they could connect that way, the impact on the mood of the patient and subsequently their ability to get past where they were was huge. What happened when the doctor and the client would laugh together is they had it validated a perspective that they shared. There may be all kind of things that are different, and especially if someone's struggling with depression or other kind of mental illness, they can feel very distant and separated from people. But when they were able to have something together they could laugh at, where they had a shared perspective, it created a bond with them. And they had a common experience and a common way of expressing it that kept the isolation less important and more of a connection. You'll see this a lot. Some of your families, one of the best things you can do is find ways. I mean, and Becky mentioned this last night. It'd be really important, parents, is to find things in your home, especially when you feel like constantly you're picking up, your kids are doing this and all that. And by the way, your kids are thinking the same about you. But if you can just come up with some ways to inject some humor and find a sense of humor in things. It may take some work, and I'll give you some steps on that in a minute, but there's something about this that's really important to us. Healthy laughter also has another benefit, and that's what we'll spend the rest of the time on, and there's a spiritual dimension to this. And when I mention spiritual, I'm not talking about a separate category. The spiritual part of my life, it affects everything about me. You know, my body, my mind, my soul, all that kind of stuff is tied into what energizes me. And as followers of Jesus, we've been given God's Holy Spirit. We have a capacity to live and think differently than we ever had before. And when we tap into this new capacity that we have, which is a choice, it changes things. Listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life and yours, what the Holy Spirit wants to build in my life and yours and has the resources to do. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit or result in our lives, an increasing capacity for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I'm going to tell you that these are like the foundational things that can lead to having a sense of humor and an ability to walk through life, not making fun of things, but just having a lighter sense of the weight of life and actually to find a way to use this sense of humor and laughter that God created us to experience. All of these are the opposite of things like worry, fear, anxiety, anger, apathy, insecurity, and pride, which is what many times robs us of being able to live the way God intended and to connect with others the way He wants. One reason I believe God gave us the capacity to laugh, and you'll have to make your own judgment on this. One reason I think is good laughter helps us build some things in our life, like humility, faith, joy, and hope. Humility, faith, joy, and hope. When we can begin to approach life with a different mindset and tap into how God created us, all of a sudden we discover some things that maybe we had been missing before. I didn't laugh at that car wash. About 3 months ago, I started to be able to think it was funny. Now, I didn't laugh because I hated looking foolish. I mean, there's a part of me that wants to look competent, wants to look together and all this kind of stuff. And in that car wash thing, man, that was just the height of my, it embarrassed me. Becky, on the other hand, was not impeded by any of those feelings. So there's something to think about that. And then this thing about, in my life, I've seen God do this, and I've got one more story I'll tell you in a minute if we have time, about how He's used circumstances in my life not to humiliate me, but to humble me and to begin seeing who I really am. Because there's, you know, constantly having to prove you're competent, well, first of all, it's really tiring. And you end up having to cover up a lot of stuff. Because I'm going to tell you, none of us in here are that competent. We can look that way. We have this image. But it's not necessarily true. And the thing is, if I can begin to be comfortable with who I am, not making excuses for it, but also not living with this demand that I've got to look a certain way, have a certain image, there's freedom that comes with that. Psalm 69, the humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged. Once we come to a point of humility before God and begin recognizing His role in our life, then we have the capacity to tap into how He created us. And I think this tying into this humor and laughter and being able to be light about things that before may have weighed way too much, the possibilities are there. Learning to laugh at ourselves is a huge, huge step in this process. And I'll get into some specifics in a minute. I think laughter not only is part of God's process and His sense of humor and all is trying to help us to be humble, but He's also trying to help build our faith, too, and to replace fear. I want to read to you a report. This is from the New Testament. It was written to a group of Hebrew background Christians that had gone through horrible persecution. I mean, they had lost their families. They'd lost their work. In many cases, they had been jailed. They had been beaten. Some of them lost their lives. And I want you to listen to how it describes these people. The writer knew them well. And listen to what he says. He said, "You suffered along with those who were thrown in the jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, listen, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you'll continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. There is something about living in the real world where even when bad things happen to me and difficult things and unjust and all that, there's a sense of joy I can still have if I really have my feet planted strongly on the back of my Lord and Savior. But if I don't have that, then I'm going to live just like everyone else, fear and anger and all this kind of stuff. It's not joy about the circumstances so much, it's just joy in whose hands I'm in. I want to show you these two pictures and give you an update from what I just heard. This is a picture of these 12 soccer-playing boys in Thailand, along with their 25-year-old coach. They'd taken a hike about 2 weeks ago, and a normal kind of thing. I think they had done it before, and they got back deep into a cave system, and then the rains came, and they were lost. For 10 days, no one knew if they were alive or not. Then they found them, and the elation immediately turned to fear because they're thinking, what do we do? Because it's July 1st starts monsoon season there. They've been pumping water. They've got thousands of people there to help them. I heard just right before the service that three of them have already been rescued. And the rescue is arduous. None of these kids knew how to swim. And yet they were going to have to do a five-hour trek through the cave system and water, artificial breathing, all this. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like? But I want to tell you, I was reading an article earlier this week, and a guy named Omar Regada. You may not know his name, but you remember in 2010, there was this group of Chilean miners that were in a cave-in underground half a mile. They were there for 69 days. And when the story of these boys came up, Omar spoke to some folks, and this is what he said. He said, they shouldn't be afraid or ashamed of their fear. He said, we were just like, and these were grown men that were stuck. These were professional miners that had gotten stuck. He said, they shouldn't be ashamed of their fear. He said, we survived. And listen to three things he said that caused them to survive: faith, prayer, and humor. He could have listed all kind of things. He didn't mention protein bars, sharing blankets, cuddling. Prayer, faith, and humor. And I think the humor thing is something we need to keep in our mind. In the midst of all that's going on and things are really, really tough, being able to keep your wits about you in a healthy mindset. And in many cases, that can include having a sense of humor, even in dark and difficult circumstances. Back to those two boys in the video, could cry or laugh. It was a choice that he made, the older brother did. But his younger brother laughing changed his perspective. There's something about this that you and I need to learn from. And there's a verse here in Psalm 100. We read this week in our Bible reading plan. It says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Similar to the Hebrew Christians. It wasn't a matter of, if I'm in joyful circumstances, I will rejoice. It's, I come before God regardless of my circumstances with gladness and joy because my life is in His hands. I'm not alone. And regardless of what comes my way, I can trust Him. I can count on Him to care for me and to carry me through, whatever that looks like at the end. I am not alone in whatever I'm struggling with. Bad things are going to happen in this world. Things are going to happen where there's accidents and disease and there's loss and there's hurt and there's evil and all this kind of... This is the reality of where we live. The other reality is, too, that we serve a God and those of us that have accepted Him follow a God that will never abandon us in the midst of all that, and He will use even those difficult things for something good if we will trust, hang on to Him, and be willing to let Him change us to be more and more like His Son. Knowing this and keeping this confident assurance of God and His presence and His love for us in the forefront of our mind changes everything. And it's something we need to regularly remember because Too many times what happens is we're doing okay and then circumstances happen. And then how many of y'all ever said this? I'm doing okay under the circumstances. Well, let me just tell you this. Why are you there? Why should you be under the circumstances? That's an excuse. I'm doing the car wash thing. I'm okay under the circumstances, which are horrible. No, we find a way to excuse, and we have a choice in our mindset. Listen to this. I love this. Becky had mentioned this to me. This is an example from Proverbs 31 of a woman of dignity and character. It says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Does she know what the future is? No. How can she laugh at it? Because she has a confident trust in God that loves her and has cared for her and will never rip her off. That's how you and I can face whatever's going on with us. And God's given us the capacity to. Now, I asked my sister about this, and she was okay. I want to tell you a story. I'm not making fun of Alzheimer's. I hate the disease. I'm not saying this is a standard for everyone. My mom is 90. I love my mom dearly. She is a phenomenal woman. But she came down with Alzheimer's. And for those of you that don't know much about that, if you ever saw Back to the Future, one of the first ones, Marty used to walk around with his photo in his hand. And when he was trying to rescue his family and change the past, the photo starts fading. That's what happens with Alzheimer's, is memories start fading. And that's happened with my mom. And it's significantly happened. There are a lot of things she just doesn't remember about her. She doesn't remember much about her past, and she's losing a lot of memory and connectedness right now. And I'll tell you, I hate seeing it. That said, there are some humorous moments that happen in the midst of this. And I think God has given us some of these humorous moments for me and my sister and others in the family so that we can cope with it and we can walk through it together. And I'm going to tell you an interchange that happened last weekend. My dad had gone to a men's meeting. My sister and my mom are sitting at home on the couch in their living room, mom and dad's house. This is the exchange. My mom said to my sister, "Do I have a husband?" My sister said, "Yes. He sits on that red cushion." They're on the couch. Mom and dad sit on everything. And she points to the red cushion. "Yeah, he sits right there." My mom says, "You mean dad?" Now, this is free too. We'll do a parenting seminar sometime. I call Becky mom sometimes. It doesn't mean that I think she's my mom. But we just got used to it because kids, you know, we have kids now, so you're talking about mom and dad. You mean dad? My sister said, "Yeah, you've been married to him almost 67 years. Mom, you're kidding, I have?" And then the kicker, and this is what sent me on the floor. Why do I call him dad? Just as genuine as it could be. She sent me that text. I fell on the floor laughing, went downstairs, told Becky. Then I emailed my sister, and there have been ha-has sent, texts. I don't do the ha-ha emoji things, but anyway, all these ha-has back and forth. In the midst of a despicable, horrible disease that is robbing my mom of her memory, and in some cases of us being able to hang on to that, God gave us something to help relieve part of it and to help us to find some humor and a chance to laugh in the midst of it. Life is not all one or the other. Back to the video of those two kids. "He bit my finger." He didn't know what to do. So I want to give you two ways real quick for adding joy and laughter to your life. The first one is watch your mental diet. Some of you are really... You're really careful about what you eat. Some of you aren't. You still eat Twinkies. But some of you are real careful. You check it all out, the ingredients. It needs to be all clean and organic and all that kind of stuff. But your mental diet is horrible. And you're not really thinking about it. So what's going on in this thing? Listen to what Philippians 4, 8 through 9 says. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts." And the word "fix" here means to camp out on. Make this the foundation of your life. "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me." and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. There's something about having God's peace and his presence with me that's related to my thinking. And I'm going to tell you, some of us, we have a steady diet of news and opinions. I'm not saying you should be uninformed, but I think some of us are way too informed about stuff that may not have been very well vetted. And we fly into all this kind of stuff that just seems to fuel fear, anxiety, frustration, hopelessness, anger, conspiracy theories all around. And when I say, it's not a matter of being uninformed, although I will tell you some of you buy into this kind of stuff because you don't want to look naive. You don't want others to make fun of you, so I got to stay on top of all of it. You got your own channels you're going to watch. And I'm going to tell you, you're in charge of what you feed your mind. And somehow you need to feed it some really good stuff or you're going to be in trouble. There will be consequences you don't want. I think limiting news feeds, I think having a that's why we do the Bible reading plan here, is to regularly get some input, some healthy diet of some things that are true and focus on that and wrap our lives around that so that we have some way to filter all this other stuff that comes in. One of the things with my mom is the last time I was there, my dad watches some of these new shows. I call them the yelling shows because they get guests on there and they just scream at them all the time. And dad's been hard of hearing, so it's really loud when they're screaming at him. And I'm watching mom on the couch. He's sitting on the red cushion, by the way. Mom's sitting here, and she's just really nervous because she thinks the world's about to fall apart because these people are screaming and yelling, and it's getting worse and worse. What am I going to do? So we did an experiment. I took my Netflix, and we downloaded the very first two episodes of Andy of Mayberry. Still funny. My mom watched that, and she was smiling and laughing the whole time. She didn't follow the storyline. She's not capable of doing that. But she could tell when people were connecting, when people did something funny, when Barney Fife shot himself in the foot. I mean, all this kind of stuff. And her mood was entirely different. I'm going to tell you, some of you, You have a choice to make on what you feed on. I'm not saying be ignorant of what's going on in the world, but be careful. Be really careful because your mind is a horrible thing to waste. And God created us with healthy mechanisms within us, and he wants us to use them. The second thing I'll say is take yourself less seriously and God more. This is one of those things I'm learning. I didn't do very well at the car wash, but I had an episode 2 weeks ago that has shown some significant improvement. Becky and I went camping for our anniversary. I told her I would take you anywhere you want to go, and she goes, I want to go camping in West Virginia. Yay, wallet. So we rented an RV, and we go camping in West Virginia, and it was a lot of fun. It was one of these 23-foot RVs, and it was great. We didn't own it. But we're at the campground, and so we're finally finishing, and we're leaving the campground to head back home. This is up in the mountains, Canaan Valley. And as we're pulling out and driving through the loop, this lady runs out, and she flags us down. And I'm thinking, what, is that a friend I didn't know? You know, does she have something she wants to sell me? Maybe I should just go right through her. I stop, and this is what she says. Your awning is still out. I had a 15-foot awning, 15 by 15. I'm driving down the road like this. And for someone that doesn't want to look like an idiot, I did not accomplish the goal very well. I mean, we're just going down like this, just flapping in the breeze. Looks like a spoiler on the wrong part of the car. And it didn't make me mad. I could laugh too. That's huge progress for me. Now, I did take a hammer and beat the thing a couple of times because I didn't know. I mean, God is constantly trying to help you and I to learn to take him very seriously, but to recognize there are some things that we get wrapped up in are just not that important, and they rob us of the life he intended for us to have. And there's more to that story about the relationship we built with this woman and her husband, and one day maybe I'll tell the rest of that. But had I done the car wash scene again, it would have turned out very differently. And I am confident, I'm certain that, it says in Philippians 1, I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it It's finally finished on the day Christ Jesus returns. He's got work he's doing in you and me. And to take him seriously and that, and ourselves less seriously, is a big part of that. And I'll close with this. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. We have a reason to have a sense of humor, because we're in the hands of a God that loves us, and there is not anything that will come our way that with him we cannot handle. Let's pray together. God, help us to take you at your word. For those of us that know you, we have your Holy Spirit trying to build in us this reservoir of love and joy and peace, patience, gentleness, self-control, kindness, all these things that you've given us the capacity for if we're willing to surrender and let you build it. I pray that you would help us to be people that live in such a way that people see joy and they see hope. And in our laughter, they see something of freedom that would entice those that don't know you yet to want to know you. Help us not to live beneath our privilege. In Christ's name, amen.